If you enjoy the harrowing of Minerva Damson and want to join the Order of Joan in their fight against the monsters stalking the trenches, there are several ways you can support the war effort. Find us on Patreon and enlist, or donate to the Order on Acast. You can also connect with Order headquarters via Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Links can be found in our bio. The Harrowing of Minerva Damson is a horror podcast and contains descriptions of war that some may find graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Minnie's mother and grandmother.
Gabby's.
So, but yeah. You know, Minnie's grandmother
Gabby.
Should... Oh, fuck. Yeah, Strafko and Minnie, I feel like...
Gabby.
God damn it. Okay.
Look at this Keet sitting on the seat. Isn't she neat?
Little Keet.
Keet. This is what your horror podcast creators do.
In their spare time.
Welcome, listeners, to the Goliad Gabby interseason wrap-up. I'm Jessica Linkhart. I wrote and produced and directed and did the main narration and the voice for Goliad Gabby.
I'm Strafko, but I'm actually Mitchy. I'm Mitchy and Strafko at the same time, because I can act.
And this is Jamie, who did the voice of Santi this season, and is also going to point out that this wrap-up is a shit show, just like production-wise.
Yeah. But that's okay. We're here to talk about it. We're here to discuss all of our troubles that we had along the way, and friends if we made them too.
Honestly, I think the final product was a lot shinier than the horrid background.
Yeah, well, it's a lot like an embroidery hoop,
just
right?
Look at the back.
Don't look at the back. I was also going to say, Mitch, we worked together to create the Goliad Gabby icon.
Oh, yeah, we did that. And also, we upped our podcasting game, so to speak, by introducing a couple of new techniques that we'd not previously done before in other seasons.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But I do think, like, the icon for this season, because I sketched this out ages ago, really. So the cockatrice doesn't look exactly like the cockatrice is described in the interseason. But I wanted it to look kind of like something between a Old West wanted poster and sort of heraldic imagery.
Like, it, to me, gives off a little bit of vibes from Monster Hunter, because they have, like, a whole bunch of different specified, like, icons for all of their little monsters that you're supposed to hunt. And, like, it kind of invokes that imagery in my head.
Okay.
Yeah. And that icon was kind of, I think, out of just like everything else in this interseason, I think that one gave us kind of like the most trouble of all the icons that we've done so far, because I think it just had so much more, like, I don't know, fiddly little bits. It's a little more complex, I think, than a lot of the stuff that we've done.
Yeah, because most of our stuff is very flat, very one-dimensional, very... like one or two colors,
not this so one, many elements.
This one had a couple of overlays to it. It had some shadowing effects. It had very, very subtle details that if you're not really like zoomed in, you don't really pay that much attention to. But like,
yeah,
it worked out really well though.
Yeah, it did. It also has some like lighting effects and things like that. But Yeah. What to say about this, like, the interseason? Well, as you almost certainly noticed, we had a very irregular release schedule for this. That was not intentional at all. Things just kept happening behind the scenes.
One of us would have some sort of mental breakdown based on their work schedule and workload.
Yeah, or just scheduling conflicts in general. That was a huge problem. We also had things like me and Jamie had to go to my dad's house to house sit right kind of at the beginning, and we were having like technological difficulties trying to download the sound files that we needed to edit the episodes. And then, you know, another time our dog had a serious allergic reaction to something, which to a bar of soap or something that we'd just bought. Oh, yeah. And so we had to like rush her to the vet at 2 a.m. and that kind of threw off the schedule for a few days as we tried to figure out like what is she allergic to and like catch up on sleep and things like that. It was really wild. Just thing after thing after thing kept happening to interrupt the production part, which was frustrating. But we also have had some really cool stuff happening that was sort of like interrupting the production schedule, but in like
a good way.
A good way. Yeah. Yes. And we can't announce exactly what that is right now, but if you've been following us since the beginning, and if you've been listening to these season wrap-ups, what I can say is
you might be able to guess what the major development has been.
Yeah. The reason why we made the podcast is happening. So it's happening. But we don't want to make any official announcements yet until we have basically a place for you to go and
learn more
and something to do with all that energy and excitement and interest, so that our announcement will hopefully generate for you. So we anticipate getting to make an official announcement sometime probably in the next couple of months. So stay tuned. We're going to be putting out season 3 sometime in the next couple months. So probably sometime during that production, we'll be making that announcement. So that was also happening behind the scenes. And we can go into that more once we actually have made an official announcement and talk about that whole process. So yeah, so it wasn't all bad. It's just been very, very chaotic. But yeah, I mean, honestly, again, talking about the chaos of this whole thing, I, even on a conceptual level, like this was kind of an experiment for me. This isn't my typical kind of wheelhouse, because Goliad Gabby from the like jump was really experimental for me. It's more a
lighthearted adventure.
Yeah, like action adventure kind of thing than a dramatic horror kind of thing, kind of story. And there are reasons why I did that. I
can say, like, from an outside perspective, as you were like writing the script for Goliad, you were really struggling with it because it's a different pace, it's a different tone than what you're used to writing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. I was having a great time because, like, I tend to traffic in the more, like, you know, upbeat comedy breaks and action romp kind of thing. Like, so, like, I was like, yeah, this is working. This is great. But I think you were still trying to evaluate it based on your normal criteria, which didn't apply.
Yeah, like, yes, this was very experimental for me. The reason why I wanted to have a story like Goliad Gabby is, number one, guys, the harrowing of Minerva Damson is very heavy, and it's going to get heavier from here on out. It's a war drama, so it's kind of angsty. there's a lot of of gruesome things happening and creepy things. And I kind of wanted to have, in the middle of all of that, something to kind of break that up. But also, I really wanted to be able to show that of the stories of Knights of the Order of Joan who are participating in World War One, not all of them are going to like come away with the same kinds of experiences. A lot of them are going to come away, you know, traumatized because World War One was really traumatizing. But, you know, some other people, they get lucky or they have a different outlook or just different expectations. And Gabby comes away from the war having had kind of a really, I don't know if I would say like necessarily like super positive, but a sort of
self-actualizing
and affirming experience. Like she ends up taking very different things away from her experience than a lot of the other knights. But those experiences would have existed, you know, in this alternate timeline. It's not just constant doom and gloom. You know, the knights are as varied as anybody. So that was kind of important for me to show. And also, I just kind of wanted to write a story about a young woman who gets to have, like, the traditional
boys' adventure.
Well, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I just think that the world needs more stories about young women who get everything they want and get to be larger than life. What I wanted was to write a story about a girl who gets to go on the adventure and be larger than life
and get the boy
and the boy, you know, in a lot of, I think, traditional adventure stories, the adventuring man hooks up with the love of his life, right? But his adventure isn't over. He's still got to go do things somewhere else. And then she's like, "I'll wait for you." And she does, and he comes back, and like they get together and stuff like that. But you don't really see a lot of stories where the reverse is true. Yeah. That the man is like, "You are worth waiting for, and I will absolutely wait for you, and I don't have a problem waiting for you." So, you know, I'm sure there are some stories out there that do that, but I don't think there's enough. So I kind of wanted to have that story here of just this girl who gets to go out, kick ass, and get the love of her life, and doesn't really have to deeply compromise
herself
to get all these things.
What I really like about Gabby is the fact that she tells all these tall tales at the very beginning. She's expressing, like, "Oh yeah, well, I went and did this and this and this." And like throughout the story, she actually becomes the tall tale.
Yeah,
she grows into
becoming
what
the tall,
she said.
And it's like, that's so cool to me.
Oh,
like, yeah, it really is neat.
And like I really enjoyed, you know, just kind of, it felt very Indiana Jones, like,
yes,
Quickly Down Under.
That's
to
what
me,
I wanted.
Hunting monster as opposed to hunting treasure. I mean, it's the cockatrice is kind of set up as like this sort of like MacGuffin, but it's like a demon MacGuffin that's killing people, and it's great, and I love it.
Yeah, well, and I also wanted to have a story where, like, so I think a lot of stories about young women insecurity tends to be centered, like, the starting point for young women on adventure stories, like, in adventure tales, or honestly, in almost any tale, usually insecurity is centered. And there's a reason for that, because, you know, of course,
it's relatable,
especially for young women. Yeah, it's relatable. Most women go through a period of being insecure about themselves right around their teen years. But at the same time, I don't think that's the only experience, and I wanted to be able to, I don't know, have a character who, like, Gabby, she knows who she is, she knows what she's about, she knows what she wants, and she's very self-assured, and she never pretends to be otherwise, and she's just wholeheartedly who she is at all times. And I thought that was kind of important, too, because, again, there are definitely stories out there where there are, like, self-assured young women going on adventures, but I think there needs to be more. So this is, like, my contribution to that. But yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I just wanted to try something different. I wanted to have this kind of story in the middle of this setting. Because I think this setting is actually very well suited to telling that kind of story. And, you know, I apologize to our listeners and to our fans who are, like, really into the more, like, horror aspects of the Ordinal timeline. But,
I mean, if that's the case, you can just skip this mini-season. Yeah.
Oh, we'll get back to that. Yeah. We'll get back to that, I promise. That's, like, my bread and butter.
There's plenty to be had.
This was just, like, this was a foray into it, sort of a different kind of story. And, like I said, I think that the Ordinal timeline, like, this universe can accommodate all kinds of different stories, not just horror stories, not just war dramas, but westerns and cozy mysteries and, you know, romantic comedies. And at some point, I hope in the future to be able to explore all those things, maybe not necessarily through the vehicle of the harrowing of Minerva Damson. Probably I will leave some of that to later ventures that we plan on embarking on, other kinds of media. But
everybody needs a palate cleanser, and this this season was definitely one of those.
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah, I felt like really the whole time I felt so, oh my god, unsure of my storytelling ability. And because also there's some comedic elements, like, it's so important to get the comedic timing right.
And you had one-liners in there, and you don't usually write those, and, like, Jamie and I are just like, no, keep those in, those are great!
Yeah, like, she was constantly second-guessing herself on the comedy elements, but, like, they were great. I really enjoyed them. Especially Stravgo clawing himself out from underneath the dead cockatrice. Like, iconic.
Yeah, well, and I also wanted to compliment you, Mitch, on like rising to the challenge of Stravko, because, you know, he does deliver some really emotional lines, especially there in episode 4 mm-hmm. in Trickshot, and I think you really nailed that.
I think you got it down.
Yeah, I think you had a very convincing emotional.
Nailing down his voice was kind of hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and this was your first time stepping into, like, a main cast role.
Yep. That was.
And I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Like, a lot of that emotional turmoil, I just kind of, like, grasped at things that, like, oh, I've experienced something very similar to this. Let me get this.
Yeah, exactly.
Box of trauma. Yay!
Yeah. I mean,
you can
that's
be useful.
That's how you. Yeah. I mean,
that's
honestly,
art, baby.
That's art, baby. So yeah. Well, I mean, favorite parts, worst parts, like.
Let's talk about those. The worst parts.
Well, yeah. The worst parts are just that it was just so hard to pull together, and it was so frustrating, and I felt so bad, because I, as a creator, I want to be able to deliver consistently to people. I want people to be, like, listeners and my audience to be able to trust me to be able to deliver things on time. And that I couldn't give that was, like, it was serious, like, psychic damage, like, every day. I was pretty neurotic there towards the end, because I was just like, oh my god, it's been too long, it's driving me nuts.
I mean, I will say, like, you were really open, though, with, like, you know, expectations of when things were being delivered and stuff, so I don't think it was that. I think, like, yeah, having that as kind of the driving force of why you're needing to get something done is good to have, but, like, at the same time, like, it's okay to be a little flexible in scheduling, especially because of ridiculousness that happened this, you know, during this time.
At the end of the day, I was just like, a lot of this stuff, it can't be avoided.
Yeah.
That's kind of out of my hands. Still really got to me, though. Mm. So, but, okay, favorite parts, though. I mean, I think for me, okay, I said no more fucking horses, right?
No, there's always gonna be a horse in every season.
And it's specifically because it's like, oh god, it's World War I, you know, horses were still one of the main vehicles, one of the main ways to get around. So if you're not, like, hiking places and you don't have, like, a car, or wherever you're going is inaccessible by car, like, horses are kind of it. So I was like, god damn it! And I do think, though, that, like, that was kind of that was also something of like a barrier for me to getting this.
A mental block.
to even beginning Goliad Gabby, like production of Goliad Gabby, because I was just sitting there dreading having to do all the horse stuff.
But like, I think we came to a very fun kind of solution to that, because we introduced things that were horse-like. Like, we introduced the motor horse.
I was like, I'm not
we
doing...
introduced a mule. Like,
yeah.
It's not just horses.
Well, I mean, mules are essentially...
Horse-adjacent.
And the same problems plague mules as horses, which is, like, getting the right...
Jess, as a dyed-in-the-wool horse girl... She knows these details, and she knows when they're wrong.
Yeah. My family does too, so they'll be like, I listened to the latest episode.
That was not a gallop, that was a canter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm like, I know, but I gotta work with what I have. Mm-hmm. But I
can
do.
Get coconuts.
We should. Maybe at some point we should invest
in
that.
Do some Foley work.
But I will say that I do think that my favorite part might have been the mule scene where Gabby is stealing the mule. I do think ultimately that ended up being my favorite part.
Yeah,
too.
The score alone really carried so much about that.
Yeah. Well, and I could feel it coming together. I was like, oh, okay, like this is funny. It is funny, and it's coming together.
This is like a Looney Tunes escalation of action that's happening right now.
Yes. So I think that was probably my favorite part, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else, because like this is also spread over so much time that I'm like trying to like
piece
go back through
together,
like the first two. Well, actually there were a couple of other things that I really did like about this season.
Oh.
One is this happened so long ago that it you know, took a minute for me to remember that it happened, but I actually worked with my mom for the voices for Gabby's mother and Mama. And that was super fun.
Sharon did great.
She did. And she like, she really did take it really seriously.
Yeah,
like,
she got in about the booth and she just really went for it.
Well, yeah.
Did she stop by here or did you guys go down there with your equipment?
She came here.
Oh, wow.
She made like a whole trip so that she could come here.
Yeah, all the way from San Marcos to the middle of Oklahoma.
Yeah. And she really thought about the characters too, because she was like, well, I thought that Gabby's mama should have more of a Georgia accent, that, you know, that maybe she came from Georgia before she, well, which is not actually Georgia in this setting. It's got a different state name, but that's getting into
the nitty gritty,
but that she came from Georgia originally and then moved to Texas, but that Gabby's mother would have like the more traditional sort of like central Texas nasally sort of drawl. So, and I was like, oh, okay, wow, Mom, you've thought about your characters. So that,
yeah, she was like workshopping it was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. so that was really fun, and she did take after take until she was satisfied and I was satisfied, and honestly like her standards were kind of like a lot higher than mine in this case. So that was a total delight.
That's something to say about standards.
I know. Well,
it's
yeah,
a hereditary trait.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And the other thing that I actually really liked about this season, and this is like a weird thing to like, but I really liked writing and to a degree performing, but more the writing part of Gabby and Stravko's failed kiss.
That was fun because I provided the teeth clacking noise.
Yes.
And that actually wound up hurting my actual teeth there.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, after the sixth time doing it, just to make sure that we got a good one, I'm just like,
yeah.
Ow.
Ouch. Ouchie. But I actually thought that was kind of like an important thing to have.
Yeah, like, okay, you can get swept up in the moment for a little bit. It's like, and then you realize, oh, wait, no, this actually is not going to work because...
this ain't it.
Yeah,
this
well, it. Usually it's kind of a foregone conclusion in a lot of these stories
it's
that...
like, oh, a man and a woman have been introduced opposite each other.
A boy and a girl together.
They're gonna kiss.
They're gonna kiss. Well, they're going to fall in love because he's present and... or they're simply in proximity. And let's be real. That does not always happen. In fact, it kind of rarely happens, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how many people of the opposite sex do we work with all the time and, like, do not catch feelings for?
Yeah.
So, but also, more to the point, I think that there's kind of this essential coming-of-age experience that is often missed when we write these coming-of-age romantic stories. And that is the experience of kissing someone and it just falls flat.
Like, oh, this ain't it.
Like, oh, you know, I don't know about that.
But that
was interesting, but let's not do that again.
But, like, whenever it actually does happen and you do get that kind of, like, you know, it's like, oh, like, it's... it kind of sparks. It's a very nice feeling whenever you find someone.
Yeah,
like
you need the contrast, but you also need the experience of kissing someone and it just doesn't work. And how do you deal with that?
Well,
I think that is sort of a quintessential teenage experience, really. So we've all had one. So I really enjoyed that part and kind of showing that side of the... trying to figure out romance in the middle of all these other crazy things happening. You're having Gabby and Stravko get to have this very, like, very human, very...
yeah, Stravko was like, we did something cool and badass, and then...
caught up in the moment.
That was not good.
I did not like that.
I'm just glad that she, like, understood that he's still kind of an asshole, too. It was like,
That's
not great.
Yeah, I mean, Stravko and Gabby, I feel like, are just very different people. I think if they meet again in the future, there will be sort of like a mutual respect there and like, haha, we had some crazy times. But they're not two people who would ever actually be like really good friends.
No.
Like, if they become friends, it's because of the experiences they have together. But like, their personalities really clash and... and so I feel like they can only ever be around each other for short periods of time.
They were coworkers that were scheduled for the same shift and had to get along.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't choose to get along.
Yeah.
It's like weird buddy cop film, except they both hate each other and they still hate each other afterwards.
Yeah. And they'll see each other 20 years later and be like, oh my God, hey how's it been?
Are you still an asshole?
Yes. Oh, okay. Well,
And
I'm still like a wild and crazy gal, so.
Yeah. Well, good thing that doesn't work. I'm going this way.
We get a drink together and then we say goodbye and then we don't think about each other for another 20 years.
Hey, I'm still not a coward.
Yeah. I just want you to know, Gabby. I'm not a coward. But those were two things that I really did enjoy.
Yeah.
And.
I can tell you what my favorite part was.
Yes, please do.
Yes, Stravko going with the motorcycle and jousting the fucking monster.
Yes!
That scene alone, describing it, just like, I got chills whenever you first played it for me. I'm like, yes!
Battle scream. Yeah. I mean, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like that imagery, like, too.
Just, oh my goodness. It was so good, like, how you describe it. Just, like, it was so vivid. I loved it. It was great.
Good.
Well, all the fun and raucous and funny parts I really enjoyed, but I think I want to direct attention to when Gabby turns the gun on Stravko.
That
whole monologue that she has, because, like, I had a very small hand in helping punch up that dialogue section, and God, that delivery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of it came out like that, though.
Yeah.
I was writing, and I was like, oh, in the flow, and I was like, damn, Gabby!
So,
yeah, take no prisoners.
A little behind the scenes about that specific, like... So, whenever we were, like, first table reading it, we, like...
Oh, yeah.
It was just, like, a natural click to just build off of each other.
Yeah.
And just kind of ignore the inner narration bits. And, like, that works so well that we're like, okay, well... How do we get that in the book?
That was another delay that we had, where we realized that we couldn't get the kind of energy we needed for that exchange by doing it separately and then splicing it together like I'd done everything else, like with all the other seasons. Because we had to order like a new microphone, because the condenser microphones that we're using right now, they don't have the same sound quality as the dynamic microphones. And I only had one dynamic microphone at the time. I couldn't use one condenser microphone and one dynamic microphone at the same time. So we ended up, to be able to have the right sound quality and the right kind of rapport for that interaction, we had to kind of pause production and order.
We had to upgrade.
Mm. Yeah, we had to order a new microphone. So,
so support us on Patreon.
Yeah, please help us. <by kidding. laughs>
And we're going to be trying to upgrade our equipment again before we start season 3, because... We have a bunch of other projects in the works, and many of them
involve multiple cast members simultaneously talking to one another.
Yes. Uh-huh. So we're finally an investment, but we're finally at the stage where we really need to have like 4 microphones in play at one time.
Our ambitions have outstripped our equipment.
Yeah. So that's that. That was another delay, was trying to get that together. But that was a really, like, that argument scene was so good. And Gabby's, you know, you are not leaving me here. I will shoot you. that was fun to write. Yeah, it was good stuff. So there is room for improvement, of course. Mm-hmm. Every season we have room for improvement. For this one, I don't know. So number one, I grew up in Central Texas, at least for like half my childhood, and so I do kind of know what the accent is like, but it's not like second nature for me. So I think my accent kind of and delivery kind of wavered over time. But also, not for season 3, because season 3, like, it's like coming down the pipe right now. But in future seasons, I would like to try to move into actually trying to like cast outside of our immediate circle.
We were actually pretty close to pulling that together for this interseason.
Yeah, for Santi.
It just didn't come together for various reasons.
Just like so many things, it kind of like fell apart there at the end. But I do think I want to do that. We haven't done that up until now for a variety of reasons. Some of them are financial, you know, because we're just kind of like a little outfit here, and we've been putting our resources into other things that are also in the wakes.
Yeah.
But some of it is that I want to be able to see people and talk to them, I guess, like kind of vet them in a way. Well, and actually be in the same room and work with them.
Yeah, like that's working face to face.
I like to be able to have that kind of like hands-on interaction, but that's not necessarily like that that like in the audio, in the voice acting world, that's often not gonna happen, right? But I think the main thing for me is that I have a lot of social anxiety, so it takes a lot of energy for me to kind of even muster the resources, the like mental resources to
like expand your network.
Yeah, put ourselves out there and interview people and, you know, go through all the steps that it takes to remotely or like in our local area interview people for
parts.
And, you know, I think that once I do it, and I do it a couple of times, I'll probably... It won't be so unknown to me, and I will be able to kind of, like, better allocate my mental and emotional resources, like, my, well, mental and social resources for that, but up until we get there, it's, like, it's a really big lift for me. It's not for other people, I understand that, but I have social anxiety, so it's a big lift for me, but I want to try to overcome that in future seasons where appropriate.
For the art.
For the art, yes.
For the art, you will suffer with your social anxiety.
Yeah, I will try to for the sake of the art, I will try to overcome my social anxiety. But that's I think there's room for improvement there. But also, anything else anybody can think of?
I mean, there's always room for improvement. My constant refrain is, if you're not growing, you're dying. Like, you always gotta look for what's the next thing. How can you change
up our game
and develop? And
my favorite statement was from Jake from Adventure Time.
Uh-huh.
It's like, sucking is the first steps of being kind of sort of good at doing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, when it comes to social interactions and trying to hire new talent, it's probably going to suck for a second or two. But then it'll be really
great. It's going to be uncomfortable.
And I could also say that about, you know, acting and stuff. And, like,
yeah.
Because this was actually the first time I read through the script and I actually did table reads. And it was,
yeah,
it was an experience.
Yeah.
And, like, it did help out with the processing.
Yeah.
It did help me, like, find the voice and figure out, you know, how to say stuff. And just kind of, I guess my room for improvement would definitely just keep that a thing and just keep, like,
honing that.
Keep kind of pushing myself to be out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, sit with the character.
Yeah, sit with the character. Try and, like, figure out how do they sound like. How do they interact and bounce off of other people is also really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I had to step up for Beast Clover A, I just spent, like, a day or two in my office in the back of the house, just kind of talking to myself as him.
Yeah.
Just to kind of
feel him out.
Because, like, you have to find that, like, slot in your voice that you can fall into and stay in.
Yeah. It's kind of weird for me, though, because I did that a little bit in the back of the car, but, like, I couldn't.
Car's a good place to do it, too.
Well, I mean, I still couldn't, like, I need somebody else as a sounding board. Hey, what does this sound like to you guys? And, like, you can kind of pitch me to where I need to be a little better. Like, I need that extra person there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think as a group, we're getting better at, like, the behind-the-scenes production stuff. Because, we're also in addition to being in the run-up to season 3 of The Harrowing, we're also looking to launch Route 6.6,
yes!
our space comedy project.
And I get to be as hammy as possible.
Yeah, you can finally
unleash the ham.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've started doing table reads for that and sort of doing voice development for the different characters.
Yeah.
And, like, it's been really nice to just sit down as a group and kind of workshop that stuff.
Well, and also, like, Route 6.6 is very much sort of like an ensemble. It's actually much more of a traditional podcast. Like, like, The Harrowing of Minerva Damson and all the interseasons, they began as novellas. And so
it's kind of like audiobook plus.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and it shows. But Route 6.6 is like a classic
radio sitcom,
play, audio drama, podcast kind of thing. And it's also an ensemble. A lot of the stories in The Harrowing of Minerva Damson have really small casts because you're dealing with situations where there's just, like, not a lot of people working with each other in the same place. Or those scenarios, those are the ones that I think about. But Route 6.6 is very much an ensemble. So there's lots. It's very cute. It's got, like, a community feel. And it's like
set in a far-flung space diner.
Yeah, and it literally, it is all, pretty much at the end of the day, it's all about the community and about these, like, this large cast of characters, like, their
bouncing off of one
interactions.
Another.
Which,
I think
your guys' practice with Goliad and doing the table reads and also, like, us investing in the four-port microphone thing.
Every bit just helps us be able to do more more.
To have the confidence, to have the know-how. You know, we're feeling our way through this, but every step that we take and every mistake that we make, it helps inform.
Yeah, I was going there with that too.
it helps us recalibrate and make something better and stronger. So, I mean, often in life, on the other side of discomfort and fear is everything you want. So you just kind of gotta
power through
that. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to think about, like, unlike other interseasons and other seasons where we've been like producing an episode a week, this one's been spread over like, I don't know, 6 weeks or 2 months or something. So it's like, I'm trying to even remember kind of, there's so much has happened during that time.
Again, a lot of it good.
A lot of it really good. So,
I do think that the timing though, like being able to just kind of sit back and say, okay, yeah, we can't make this deadline, but like you can pull it back and then make it even better, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well,
just and having that extra time just to kind of like let those flavors get to know each other.
Yeah, well, and simmer. And I do think that there were a few things in some of these episodes that I was less than happy with, but they were acceptable for my standards. I don't know.
You don't like to do things halfway.
Yeah, one of the reasons why it took so long between each episode was because I was like, I need to have the time and I need to have the focus and to do this right and actually deliver a product to you guys that isn't embarrassing to me and that you guys could enjoy.
Well, and
so,
frankly, pulling together a 30 to 40 minute episode in a week is a kind of tall order at the best of times.
It is. And I don't think I've given that fact enough room before.
So I think one lesson we need to take for seasons going forward is just scheduling in more pre-production time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but we're perpetually, because we have so many like plates
so
spinning,
many irons in the fire. Yeah.
We're perpetually kind of not playing catch up, but just kind of like
playing keep up.
And we are going to have a lot of stuff happening in the next few months. So yes. I don't like,
we bought a calendar.
Yeah, we're hoping to. We bought a calendar to write down all the things that are going to be happening because it's really getting to a point where we need to keep them straight, and there's a lot of things. So probably we can't apply that to season three.
Yeah, it's the cat's already out of the bag on that one.
It's already here. But hopefully next year, after certain things happen and maybe our schedule frees up a bit. We can begin to actually begin taking these lessons and really like putting them into action.
Dust
so
in the Western. Hey. So going back to just like kind of the problems and stuff that you were having, was there like a specific part that you didn't feel was meshing to your vision? Like kind of elaborate, like what specific hang-ups did you have?
I mean, one of the things that I was unhappy with at the end of the day was I was sad that we couldn't get that other voice actor for Santi.
Yeah, my casting for that was very last minute.
and there is a slight difference in the recording quality of your voice.
There is.
Than the rest of it, just because I think that you, like, when we were recording it, I don't think you were speaking I think you were speaking into the microphone in, a weird way.
Well, I really didn't have a chance to, like, warm up, and we just needed to get it out. It was, like, the very last thing. Yeah, it was the very last thing we needed to just put this in the can and put this season to bed.
Yeah, and by that point, I was like, it's been so many weeks. We do need to get this out the door. And if I can get something that is, like,
passable,
decent, then, like, so be it. We just kind of need to get this off of our plate because we have so many other things coming up, like, right now. So I was a little less than happy with that. Mm-hmm. There are just a few places where I wish I had had more time to really
tune up.
Well, to really lavish attention on, you know, even more attention on the sound effects. Because I like it when I can really build, like,
a lush environment.
Yeah, an environment that feels really dynamic and real. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some things I could have done to do that even better and didn't get to do.
Okay.
So,
like, maybe one kind of comes to mind would be, like, near the end of episode 4, where, like, I think you're trying to describe, like, a dock scene or something like
yeah.
that. And, like, it... Like, you could have, like, had some birds flying in.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit more ambiance. But, like, that, I mean, all in all...
It's a small gripe.
It's a small gripe, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm a perfectionist, and I've talked about it before. I need to let that...
Do not let perfection be the enemy of good.
Yeah.
Or the enemy of done.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... Yeah. So, those are probably... Those are the things that I can think of off the top of my head, because those are the freshest things. Mm-hmm. There are probably a few things in other episodes that yeah. also I was like, I wish I could have done this better. It was very hard to find a free mule sound.
Really?
Yes, it was so hard. It was so hard. I also really struggled to put together something that would work for the cockatrice. Those were also, like, there was also, like, some sound sourcing issues with this one for getting things right.
Well, because, I mean, it also didn't help that you also had internet problems whenever you had to do that stuff. Like,
yeah.
It all just kind of layered in on each other.
Yeah, like, it really did. Like, sound
effects do.
Yeah, yeah, it was a thing.
It was a whole thing. Yeah.
And I feel bad because I feel like this whole like season wrap up is very low energy. We're just like,
we're
oh my
tired.
God,
we're tired. Yeah.
but at the end of the day, I am pretty happy with it. I really like Gabby's story was different for me, and a little uncomfortable because. It's different from a lot of the things that I've done before, but I like her story. I like Gabby.
It's a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah.
I'm glad
she kind of reminds me of you.
Oh,
I can see reflections of you in Gabby.
Yep.
I'm glad that Gabby gets everything she wants, you know, and she just goes for it. Well, so,
here's a question. Are we going to see more of Gabby?
I don't know. I do think that there are characters that may cycle back in. There's certainly storylines that in the interseason arcs will end up kind of coming back around.
Yeah.
But I do also have plans for some of these characters that are appearing in The Harrowing and the Archives. And things happening in the Delilah documents are Patreon, like, maiden tier exclusive kind of little series. Like, those things are
so subscribe
actually...
subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to know more, subscribe to the Patreon. I just uploaded an episode this morning that begins answering some of the questions about, like, what was in the package in...
Chevalier.
Yeah. These things do inform each other. And they are going to come back around. So maybe Goliad will be part of that. I don't have a specific place in mind for her right now.
Nothing currently planned.
But, like, that's the thing about, like, creative endeavors and writing and stuff. Like, it's surprising how you'll, you know, write yourself into a corner and then suddenly a character from, like, way back when or some side story is, like, perfect for getting you out of that bind. So
I was just joking. It's like, okay, well, we're going to go through this whole harrowing of Minerva Damson. We get to the big bad. She's troubled and having a hard time just trying to end it. And then a shot rings out. And
yeah.
It's Gabby. It's just like, boom. Well, what you taking so long?
Yeah. Gabby with the boss kill.
And she just walks off into the sunset.
Well,
Oh, well, if we are heading towards the end of the episode, it's probably worth saying that related to a lot of the projects that we have going on and the major announcement that we are not yet able to formally make, expect some changes to the harrowing Instagram.
Yes.
That's going to be sort of redeveloped into a sort of wider net account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to, you know, we're going to begin really pulling things in from not just the harrowing, but also other parts of
the Joniverse.
Yeah, the Joniverse. I mean, the ordinal timeline, but we're probably going to end up calling it the Joniverse.
Jonas-verse, because that's like the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about.
The Joniverse. So that will be coming up, and we're planning on becoming a lot more active on there. I know we've been kind of radio silent for a while, but mostly that's because we've just been contending with things behind the scenes. That's about to change.
Yes, and we're also working on launching a Goblin Booth Productions website that will be like a nice home for all of our projects.
Yes,
including Media Morsels, including Route 6.6.
Yeah. Including another project that we have not yet announced.
Oh, does it suck?
Yes. which we'll be talking about, I'm sure, pretty soon.
Pretty imminently, yeah.
But yeah, we are officially Goblin Booth Productions LLC. We have real business paperwork, and we are...
A banker had to write that name down on official government paperwork.
I
don't know if his soul got crushed.
No, I think he thought it was funny.
He thought it was okay. I couldn't read.
It's always very interesting when people have to write that down with a straight face. But but we are an actual business entity now. So we're going to be launching our website soon. Kind of gathers all of our stuff together. And so you can check out all the kinds of stuff that we have, because we actually kind of have a broad variety of
nonsense.
Yeah, of nonsense to present to you. So
eat the slop.
Check that out. Hopefully we'll be doing some more Media Morsels soon. That's been kind of on hiatus, and out of everything that we are doing, it's probably the lowest priority, but it's also spooky season, and there's so many good movies that I want to talk about, so I'm hoping to get a couple in there at least. So yeah, you know, we really appreciate you guys. We really appreciate our listeners, our audience. It's growing. We love to see that, and we hope that we keep producing things that you guys really enjoy. And we hope too that, having seen kind of the flexibility of the Joniverse, of the ordinal timeline, the kinds of stories that can be told in it, that you will be interested in other things that are upcoming.
Yeah.
Well, and we would be thrilled to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you were talking at you, but you guys can also talk at
to us.
Spotify has sort of started introducing this thing where you can comment on podcasts, but also Instagram is a great way.
Yeah.
At the Harrowing of Minerva. Mm-hmm. But that handle may be changing in the near future.
Yes. So watch for that. We'll try to make an announcement. We also are... There's this new podcast platform that's supposed to be launching sometime soon called Heard FM. It's
HEARD.FM.
Yeah. And... They're really interesting. They're
also not sponsored.
Yeah, this is not sponsored, but they're really interesting because I think they really have a lot more categories of genres of podcasts.
Their thing is discoverability.
How
do you actually meaningfully sort things?
And so they have a lot of different genres and tags and things like that. So you can actually, once they launch, it seems like you will be able to find things in very specific categories a lot faster and a lot easier. And they also claim to have human curated podcast lists, which is pretty exciting. But perhaps most importantly of all, we were invited onto their platform, and we were also invited to be part of their sort of creators club, where we can basically talk to you.
Yeah,
you can talk to us and we can talk to you.
Basically a social media platform that runs adjacent to the podcast.
Yeah, and we're not exactly sure what that's going to look like yet, because the app hasn't launched, but it kind of sounded to me like almost like a chat room or like Discord or something.
We'll see.
But
we're excited.
We're excited about the possibilities of that. And again, we would love to talk to you. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be making a lot of announcements and quite a few changes here in the near future. So watch for that. We'll try to keep you updated. And if you really like what we do, and if you're interested in reading more of the archives and hearing the Delilah document series, maybe check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/theharrowingofminervadamson. You know, we're there. We're updating that fairly regularly. And there's a lot of kind of exciting, like, tidbits that I'm hoping over time people will kind of sift through the little
bits and bobs
and kind of start drawing together this, like, larger picture. But they're also just really cool by themselves. And so we'll be putting a lot of exciting stuff up on there soon, too. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for listening to Goliad Gabby. And thank you so much for your patience and support. And we're really excited to bring you season 3 and so many other things. And we hope you'll tune in again as we release new stuff. So, yeah.
Time to wrap up the wrap-up.
So we hope you tune in to season 3, which will be coming quite soon, sometime in the next few months. And until next time, safe travels, fair knights.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Harrowing of Minerva Damson and its related stories are written, narrated, and produced by Jessica Linkhart, and features additional voice work by Miranda Lewis, Claire Miller, and Jamie Sykes. Art assets done in collaboration with Mitch Lewis. Thank you for listening. Our tale will continue next week.